Well, if you'll turn with me this morning to the book of Hebrews and the chapter 6 for scripture reading. Book of Hebrews and the chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and we want to begin our reading at the verse number 12, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. And there the word of God says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. When we know and we trust the Lord, we'll bless the public reading of his own precious word to all of our hearts for Jesus' sake. We'll bow in prayer again, and we'll seek the Lord before we come to the preaching of his word. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for this gathering today. We thank thee for thy people that are in attendance here to hear thy precious word. We pray, O Father, that thy word would find a resting place within their hearts, that thy word would encourage them, that it would, O God, uplift them, that it would transform them, that it might be effectual in their lives, that they might be a testimony unto the power of Jesus Christ, and Lord, they might be a testimony unto the greatness of his gospel. We pray you'll draw near, that you'll give us all an attentive ear, and that your God would draw near to us, help us to be very aware that the Lord is in the midst of us. Bless thy word, undertake, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to highlight a few words to you from verse 18 of Hebrews chapter 6, and it says there in those few words, we might have a strong consolation. We might have a strong consolation. Now, in this part of verse 18 that we have just read in the book of Hebrews, we see the Apostle Paul as giving his intended application of the words that he has just said in this chapter. What the apostle wants for these believers who would have been reading this letter was that they would have a strong consolation. And this word consolation in this text essentially means comfort. Paul wants these people to possess and to have for themselves as individuals a strong comfort. Now this is very important when we do consider who the Apostle Paul was writing to. He was writing to a band of believers that were being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. Now the Apostle gives us an indication of this in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 26, because he speaks there of Moses and he says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. So the great example given is Moses, a man who knew what it was to have the reproach of Christ. And therefore he is speaking there to them who also were knowing this reproach of Christ in their lives. Essentially they were being persecuted for their identification with the Savior, for their profession of faith in him. And of course this is something that God's people will expect in this life. But the effect of this persecution was that these believers now were beginning to abandon their faith. They were beginning to turn back on the profession that they have made. They were beginning to be full of doubts and fears and they were beginning to ask questions of their identification with the Lord Jesus. And the Apostle Paul is aware of this. For we read in Hebrews 10 verse 38 these words that he says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasures in him." And so the apostle here is giving them a warning. They were those who professed faith in Christ, but he's warning them that if they draw back, then God will have no pleasure in them. And so he is writing to them in order that he might strengthen them, in order that he might keep them on their course, that they might continue to walk with the Lord Jesus. And therefore, in this part of the book of Hebrews, he wants them to have this great comfort. Now, what is this comfort? Well, John Owen says, "This is that which relieves our souls against all fears, doubts, and troubles." So what it is, this comfort that he wants them to have, is that in their soul they would have a calm, that there would be the removing of these fears, these troubles, these doubts, all of these things that were in their soul. The Apostle Paul wanted them to have a soul that was calm, a soul that was steady, a soul that was looking to God and Christ by faith. And notice these words in Hebrews 6:18. He says he wants them to have a strong consolation, a strong comfort. And the idea of this is that the apostle wants them to have a comfort that's like a mighty fortress, a comfort that will withstand all attacks, a comfort that will endure against the enemy that would seek to disturb that comfort in the soul. Paul wants these believers to be safe, secure, to have a strong consolation, one that withstands anything that would seek to disturb it. And that can be like so many believers in these days. In their soul there can arise much fear. In their soul there can arise much doubt. Their mind could be filled with the events that are going on in our land and our country. And these things then take over our mind. These things then cause us every single day to wonder and to ask questions. And therefore our mind is not full of Christ. It's not full of the Word of God. It is getting away from the Lord. And it's becoming obsessed with other things. And therefore there is a spiritual problem in the life. And I would say to you, dear believer, in these days, look to the Lord. Look to Him by faith. Put your trust in Him in order that there might be a strong comfort, a strong consolation within your soul. We realize that in these days God is in control. He is doing His will. He is doing His good pleasure. And therefore every believer looking to Him will have a comfort, will have a rest in their soul. This raging sea that's maybe going on within you will begin to steady. And how can we get it? We've given already a reason that we can look to the Lord by faith, but Paul is very specific here. He speaks to the believers of the promise of God. Paul here says, if you want to have this strong consolation, then you must look to the promise of God, and we'll look at that in more detail later on, but this promise that we're going to speak of in this sermon is a promise for each and every single believer here this morning, because verse 17 says we are the heirs of the promise, and therefore the promise that is given is a promise that is given to believers in the past and a promise that still stands for us as believers in these days. That promise given to Abraham, and therefore we say that God's promise is our strong consolation, and that's what we'll speak about this morning. And this service, God's promise, our strong consolation. God's promise, our strong consolation. Well, why is it our strong consolation? Well, firstly, because of the example that is given. The example that is given. Read verse 13 of Hebrews 6 with me. It says, "For when God made promise to Abraham." So the Bible here gives us a fact that God gave a promise to Abraham. Here already we have an example of a man then that received a promise from God. And the apostle here gives this example not only of a man who received a promise from God, But if we go down to verse 15, it says there in that verse that he obtained the promise. And therefore we see this example as a man who received a promise, and then a man who obtained that promise that was given of God. And why does the Lord give us this example? Well, Romans 15 verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," that is, things about past events, "were written for our learning." So the Lord here is giving us this example for our learning, that we might be instructed, that we might take it into our lives and learn something about the Lord. And you know, the Lord here shows believers how he deals with them. The Lord here shows a great fact that he gave a promise to Abraham. He was faithful to make sure that Abraham obtained it. And so the Lord then makes a promise and he will fulfill it. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is truthful. The Lord has the power to fulfill the promises that he gives to individual believers. And this fills our hearts with comfort. As we look at the Word of God, as we study its pages and our minds are filled with all those wonderful promises that we have in the Gospel, and not only then do we read about the promises, but we're sure that God will see to it that we will have all the things that he has promised to give us. He will ensure that we'll have all the blessings that Christ has promised by the shedding of his precious blood. The Lord is faithful, and the Lord will do what he says he's going to do. Again, that fills us with comfort, and we get even more comfort when we look at the substance of the promise that the Lord gave in this example. And because the substance of these promises that were given to Abraham centered on his salvation, and they center on our salvation. Verse 14 says, and this is the content of the promise, saying, "Surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee." And we see an instance of this if we turn back to the book of Genesis and the chapter 22, this promise being made. Genesis 22 and verses 17 to 18. As those verses say, that "in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." And we know this chapter very well, where the Lord had asked Abraham to offer Isaac up as a burnt offering, and upon his obedience that was clearly set forth, the Lord comes and he reiterates that promise. He repeats the promise given previously that Abraham would be blessed, that through his descendants there would come a blessing upon all nations. And Abraham saw it immediately in Isaac. The fact that he was alive gives substance to the promise of God, because through him would come a blessing to all nations. And surely those blessings are the blessings of salvation in Christ. Surely these are spiritual blessings that not only Abraham had and Isaac had, but so many of their descendants would have, and then all nations of this earth would hear the gospel and they would be saved, those who would believe. And therefore we see the faithfulness of God, not only to Abraham, but has he not been faithful to that promise even to this day? Have we not experienced the blessings of Abraham in salvation, and the fact that the Lord has taken away our sin, and the fact that he's given us the Holy Spirit, and he's promised to bless us in our lives and to take us on with Christ, that we would see the end of our salvation, that would be the glory revealed that is coming? The Lord has promised these things. He's given us them to us already, and he'll continue to bless his people with all these blessings and all these promises. This is the goal of his salvation. And the Lord has been faithful. Has he not been faithful to you thus far? Through this pandemic and through all the news and through all the sadness and the sorrow, has the Lord still not been faithful? And what then does he require of you in the face of the fact that he will be faithful to his promises? Well, Hebrews chapter 6 verse 15 gives us what your duty is, because it says there of Abraham, after he had patiently endured, then he received the promises. Abraham received the promise of God. And there would be this time where Abraham would have to wait. And he would not see an immediate fulfillment of what the Lord had promised him. And Abraham, the Bible tells us, patiently endured. Essentially, that means that he was long-suffering. And everything that he would face in his life, he was long-suffering. And all the sorrow he would go through, and all the trials that he would have to endure, Abraham was a man who was long-suffering, and therefore, as he was long-suffering and patient, he persevered in his faith, and he went on with God, and he walked with him. Dear believer, that's what you need in these days. You need patience. We need to realize that the Lord is working out his purpose in this world, and therefore we as believers, in the face of the fact that God has given us numerous promises and Jesus Christ, must be a patient people. We must be long-suffering. We must be willing to walk on with God and be faithful to him and to do our duty to him and to do his will. We must just keep going on. You know, something the government has recommended so many people do is to cycle to work. I am not taking the government up on that offer, but they have said to people that they can cycle to work if it's not too long of a distance, and therefore it saves them going on public transport. And I don't know if anybody here cycles, but cycling takes a lot of endurance. And over a long distance, the person can become tired, they can become fatigued, and they all of a sudden maybe have this temptation to stop. It is what is known in cycling as hitting the wall. They hit the wall, they want to quit, they want to give up, they don't want to finish the race, or they don't want to get to their destination because they just simply cannot go on. They hit the wall. And yet the cyclist will persevere, he'll push through, and he'll reach his destination. And how it can be in these days we can hit the wall, spiritually speaking. We feel like giving up. We feel like slacking off in our duty to God, to do His will. Dear believer, when we hit that wall, it's time to go on and push through and go on with God. That's what Abraham did. And despite his circumstances, Abraham was a man who was full of joy. John 8:56 says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." How did Abraham see the day of Christ? He saw it by faith, and therefore he was glad. And believer, this morning, as you look by faith to God and all of his promises in Jesus Christ, your heart should be full of joy and be full of gladness. As you see this great example of a man who went on with God, let that be the example you set for others, that you're persevering and you're walking with God. Now, what else did Abraham have with God's promise that really solidified all that was going to happen in his life? What gave him help with regard to his faith? Well, we see secondly here that there was this strong consolation because of the oath that accompanied the promise. Because of the oath that accompanied the promise. Read verse 13 with me. It says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself." So essentially the Lord comes down and he makes a promise. And if that is not enough for every single believer, the very word of God, the Lord not only gives a promise by his word, but he here accompanies that promise with an oath. He swears by himself, by his own nature, and by the truthfulness of his person, by the power of his person, that he will ensure that those things will come to pass. God makes an oath. Now, the Bible here gives us an idea of what is involved in that. Verse 16 of Hebrews 6 says, "For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife." So it speaks here of men who are in the midst of a strife. And when they're in the midst of a strife, they will come together and they'll set out terms whereby they can have peace. And when these terms are set out, these men will swear by God that they will fulfill the terms that they have laid down. They make an oath. And the Bible says here they don't swear by themselves, because a man swearing by another man is swearing by something that is untruthful, that is not reliable. So they swear by the Creator, they swear by God that they will stick to the terms of their treaty, that the strife is ended, that there's no more strife or there's no more bad feeling among them, and there is these terms of peace. And so the Bible says here that the Lord cannot swear by any greater, because He is the greatest, and therefore He swears by Himself that in blessing He will bless His people. This is the great oath of God. Now why does He do this? It's not to keep Himself in check, but it's for our sake. We can receive the promise of God, and how often we're prone to doubt and we're prone not to take the Lord at His word. But He comes down even further and He makes an oath and He swears that by Himself and by His very name that He will fulfill all that He has promised. Essentially, the Lord, in making a covenant with man, is saying, if I do not fulfill my promises, well then I am one that is a liar, I am one that is not truthful. But this is impossible, because the Bible says that these things will not happen with God. And therefore, this will be absolutely certain. God will do what He says He will do, because He has swore by Himself. The verse 17 gives us another revelation of this. And another thought, because it says there, wherein God, willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. So this oath here reveals to us the immutability of the counsel of God. Now this here word immutability means unchangeable. So the Lord here shows forth by the oath that He's given the unchangeable nature of His counsel. And what is His counsel here spoken of? Well, one author has said that it is the counsel of God and His holy purpose and will concerning Jesus Christ to be the seed of Abraham for the salvation of all the elect or heirs of the promise. So God's unchangeable counsel is His unchangeable purpose for His people or for the elect of God in Jesus Christ. So the Lord here is showing forth that His purpose in Christ will never change, and He's given an oath that it will never change. His purpose remains the same, and His purpose is the same in these days. His purpose with regard to His elect people, or with regard to bringing His people into the salvation that has been purchased for them. And we've seen that. I've heard in days gone past of people being saved. I've heard of sinners thinking about their latter end and bowing the knee to Jesus Christ. Does that not show forth the great fact that God is still fulfilling His purpose? And He's still fulfilling His purpose in you, to transform you into the image of Christ. His purpose that He would glorify Himself through your life. And do you see that? That God's purpose is even the same today, and it will not change. And nothing will stop it. It is unstoppable. This virus will not change God's purpose. Nothing will change what the Lord has purposed to do in His Son. The Lord's purpose has not changed for you. And are you still living for Him? Are you still seeking to glorify Him? Are you still looking to see His purpose fulfilled through your witness, through your testimony, through your giving forth the message of Christ to others? Is this still your goal? Is this still your aim? That His purpose would be your purpose? And we would see His name glorified. How we need it in these days, when we're reminded every day of the great tragedy of death. And we see men and women heading to eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. Will we not say in our own hearts that I would preach forth Christ and show forth Christ, that He would bring His people unto Himself? God has swore He will fulfill His purpose. This oath that He has made, or this oath that He has come and given unto man, is based on the great oath that Christ has given to him. Psalm 110 verse 4 said, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. These here are the words of the Lord Jesus, are speaking with regard to him and the oath that he has made to his Father. Christ made an oath to the Father that he would be a priest and that he would die for a people. He would ensure their salvation, not only the purchasing of that salvation, but the application of it. And he has sworn. And therefore the Lord has highly exalted him and blessed him and made him king, that he would have his purpose fulfilled for the nations. Hebrews 7:20 says, "For those priests are made without an oath." They are the priests in the Old Testament. They had no oath to take, but this with an oath, that is the priesthood of Christ. "By them that said unto him, the Lord swear, and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." And what wonder then we have as believers that Christ has made such an oath, and therefore you look to him this morning. Get to his cross and see God's purpose being fulfilled. See, the Lord has not repented. The Lord has not changed. And as a priest, he ever liveth to make intercession for his people. As the great priest, he ever prays on to God to fulfill his purpose, to bring his people to himself, to see them through to the very end. And dear believer, this morning, as he continues to pray, you look to him. You look to your great high priest. You look by faith and see that God will not change. And therefore your heart will be filled with such a strong consolation as you look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why else then do we have a strong consolation? Well, the last thing I want you to see through this text this morning is because of the hope that it inspires. Because of the hope that it inspires, the believer receives the promise of God. They respond to that promise by looking to Christ by faith. They see him as the great high priest. They see his purpose is unchangeable. They see then that the Lord will be faithful to them. And what begins to happen in the believer's heart, they are filled with hope. Now, hope is described by Matthew Henry as a firm persuasion and expectation that God will perform all that he has promised to us in Christ. Hope is a firm persuasion. It's an expectation that God will perform his will in Christ. A believer then that looks to Christ by faith is full of persuasion and comfort, is filled with hope. Is that the case with you, dear believer? Are you filled with hope? In the midst of a hopeless day, are you filled with hope in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have this firm persuasion? Do you have this expectation? And do you have your hands out to the Lord and are wanting to receive more blessings, blessing upon blessing in Christ? Well, look to him. Oh, and your heart will be filled with hope. You'll have this strong consolation, and then you'll have this expectation. Hebrews 6:18 says, and it speaks about the believer who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. You fled for refuge in that you fled to Christ to have a refuge from the wrath of God. And you've laid hold upon this hope. And what does this hope then do? Verse 19 says, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. You see, this hope is described as an anchor. And an anchor surely will keep any boat that goes out into the sea safe. And that when the storm comes, they will bring out the anchor and they'll be safe, they'll be secure, they'll be steadfast. Nothing will remove them from the anchor that is gripped to the bed of the sea. Nothing will destroy the vessel. And therefore the Bible says that the hope within us is an anchor of the soul. It withstands all opposition. It withstands the storm. It keeps us sure because it will not fail. It is steadfast because it will never move from its hold. We have an anchor. The anchor of hope that keeps our souls safe and secure. And what does this hope do? It goes up enters into the veil, into the most holy place, and it grips in Jesus Christ. John Owen said, "For an anchor is cast downwards and fixeth itself in the earth at the bottom of the sea, but hope ascendeth upwards and fixeth itself in heaven, or in that which is in therein, or that which is therein." John Owen is saying here that the believer's hope takes them heavenward, takes them to Christ, lays hold upon Him, and it will not be moved. What hope then you have this morning? A great hope for time and for eternity. Great hope in these days that we live in. Can I ask you, do you possess that? Because maybe you're not saved here this morning, or this afternoon. Never been to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never fled for refuge to lay hold upon that hope. You have no anchor of the soul. And if the storm of God's wrath would enter in, if the storm of God's wrath were to come upon you, it would take you away and you would be destroyed and you would perish. Have no anchor. Because you have not Christ. Well, you have Him this morning. And believer, as you have the promises of God in Him, as you see that God's promises in Him are all according to His unchangeable purpose, and your heart is filled with hope, you can sing with the hymn writer, "We have an anchor that keeps the soul, steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love." May the Lord bless His word to all of our hearts this morning for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. We'll ask the Lord now to bless us as we part one from the other. Our Father and our God in heaven, we do thank Thee that we have a great comfort and a strong consolation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that Thy purpose does center upon Him, and that He is the one then that has died for His people, who intercedes for them, who shall bring many sons unto glory, and will hand over His bride unto His Father to the praise of His glorious grace. Lord, we look ever to Thee in these days. We pray that Thy will would be done. We pray, O Father, You'll help us to continue to walk with Thee, to do, O Father, our divine duty to uplift Thy name, to show forth the praise of Christ, that others might see that He is the only hope in the face of death, that He is the only hope of the soul, and that He is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him. So, Father, we pray You'll bless us now. You'll bless Thy word, apply it to the hearts of Thy people. For those that maybe, O God, know not Christ, we pray that You'll work on their heart, that You'll show forth His beauty, that You'll give, O God, a thirsting after righteousness, that they might repent and turn unto Him. So, Father, bless us now. Part us with Thy fear and Thy mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.